Where to now for the Northern Ireland Protocol and EU-UK relations after Britain's move to unilaterally extend grace periods on goods moving from Britain to Northern Ireland and EU threats of legal action. I'm joined by Peter Foster, who's public policy editor at the Financial Times. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
It did appear that Markus Sefcovic and Michael Gove were getting on well, they were working their way through the issues and they were addressing this question of these grace periods due to run out at the end of this month. The new factor in all of this was the replacement of Gove with David Frost. It does appear that he waded in studs up. Why would he do that?
I think that, you know, that's definitely a view that you hear in Brussels. David Frost comes with baggage, as they say, in Brussels. He's always been confrontational with Brussels, and therefore this being, you know, David Frost's first move was seen as very confrontational. It was read very confrontationally. I think it's also true to say, however, that Michael Gove was pretty clear that the UK would have to take steps as the UK sees it, to protect the Good Friday Agreement, to protect supplies in Northern Ireland. And I'm not 100% sure that Michael Gove wouldn't have done what David Frost done. He might have done it in a different way that raised hackles less in Brussels. But the truth is that the meeting of the Joint Committee that took place, you know, which governs this protocol on the 24th of February, really didn't deliver the results that the Brits hoped that it would. You know, there has been real frustration on the British side that the European Commission hasn't really appreciated the difficulties that the sea border in the Irish Sea is creating. And, you know, after that meeting, there was talk that actually there wouldn't be a joint statement out of that meeting. I think it's wrong to suggest that it was all fine and dandy till David Frost showed up. It wasn't.
And Peter, I mean, the question now is, and the, you know, it's megaphone diplomacy back and forth on either side, but how do you take the heat out of it, protect the protocol and protect North-South relations?
You know, the simple answer to that is we have to try and get back to the data. The European Union has complained, for example, that the British haven't provided enough data about the checks that it's doing in order to reassure the European Union that the UK is starting to implement this Irish Sea border to protect the single market, to stop goods flowing illegally into the EU single market across the non-existent north-south border. So I think the first thing that the British side need to do is to start to provide hard data to the EU. It's also true, I think, that the EU have overstated this data issue. All of those food and animal plant products that go into the Europe, into Northern Ireland from Great Britain, they're entered into the EU traces system. The EU have had, you know, 15 people sat there watching the checks taken place. You know, the British, you know, confirmed to the EU that 24th February meeting that 5,000 document checks had taken place, more than 250 odd physical inspections. You know, the other side of this is, yes, the UK need to be more assiduous, need to provide more data, but the EU also needs to recognise the unique circumstances in Northern Ireland, in my view, and show more flexibility. The trouble is, as you said at the top, is there's no trust. You know, in a world where both sides trust each other, where the European Union were convinced that Boris Johnson and David Frost were really committed to implementing this agreement in full, then the EU would be much more relaxed about flexibility. But of course, there isn't that trust there. So as you say, we've got megaphone diplomacy and we need to get out of that. We need to get back to the basic question is, can goods flow from Great Britain into Northern Ireland safely and without risk to the single market?
And it does appear, reading in your own newspaper, that the first contact between Sefcovic and David Frost was by telephone after this move was announced.
Yes, and I think the Tornister has said, Simon Coveney said that he urged David Frost not to do that. And I suspect that Michael Gove might not have done it that way, even if Michael Gove said, look, you know, you've not delivered anything close to what we need to make this work, so we're just going to do this anyway. It was, you know, quite a David Frost-style approach. And as you say, that gets everyone's backs up and that makes this process harder, not easier. But, you know, there is fault on both sides. The triggering of Article 16, however briefly, has really damaged the process. It's really turbocharged unionist objections. And if we go back to December, Arlene Foster was saying that we need to make the most of our dual access to both markets. And the Mars show soon after in January, she was saying, look, it's not much more than Larne Plus. And look at where the unionist community is now. So you know, that mistake by the EU, which the EU has admitted to, has also set the precedent for unilateral action with a British government that, as we all know, has always been very reluctant to fully confront what it did sign up to by signing up to this Northern Irish Protocol.
For now, Peter Foster of the Financial Times, thank you.